The time is 8:50. It's 33 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana, and time for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. retail sales grew modestly in November. Retail and food service sales increased 0.3% last month to a seasonally adjusted $412.40 billion. Excluding gasoline and motor vehicles, retail sales rose 0.7% during November. Sales at gas stations fell 4%, the largest decline in nearly 4 years. Meanwhile, the Labor Department today says that U.S. wholesale prices declined in November as energy prices plunged. The producer price index decreased a seasonally adjusted 0.8% from a month earlier. Energy prices fell 4.6%, the largest decrease since March of 2009. Food prices rose 1.3%. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales report for the week ending December the 6th. The numbers look like this. Wheat this year, 19.1 million bushels, next year, 2 million. Corn this year, 10.2, next year, 0.5, and soybeans this year, 48.5 million bushels.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Market analyst Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, says WILL Agriculture provides timely commodity market analysis.
The sharing of the news and the sharing of the opinion, I think, is vital in today's environment. I think from a producer standpoint, it's nice to be able to turn to somewhere to get some news, to get to see what's going on in the market, and also to get some opinion on the market as they continue to make some of these decisions in a very volatile marketplace.
You know, we know that what happens in the markets can change on a dime. We saw it this week on Tuesday when USDA released its WASDE report, and wheat futures plummeted as many participants were thinking that there would be less and not more wheat in the world. And we also know that it is important for you to stay in touch in a timely way with market analysis. That's why we offer more than an hour of in-depth agriculture commodity analysis each day that the markets are trading. If you've used this service in the past and you have found it beneficial in some way, it has helped your business bottom line, won't you do your part today and help us out and make a $120 contribution in support of agricultural programming? It's very easy to do. The number to call is 217-244-9455. Les Schulte alongside, and we have built this service on the idea of providing timely and quality information for producers to make a difference in their operations.
That's right. We want to give people the information they are going to need, that you're going to need and use, timely market analysis and weather information to give you the tools to make those decisions that affect your business. And we believe that the money we invest to serve our agricultural audience is money well spent to bring you this solid, dependable information that you can use throughout the year. And we're asking you right now just to take about 3 minutes out of your day and call this number, 217-244-9455. Or if it's easier for you, maybe you're working on your computer and you want to go to willpledge.org, you can make your contribution there, too, to help us meet this goal, this $36,000 and 36 hours of fundraising to help support our services, including our agricultural services. If you use this service, think about it. Maybe you just want to invest $10 a month. That would be
$120.
That would be your $120 contribution to WILL. Terrific. We would thank you very, very much, because we think that we're doing our best, and we ask you to help help us do that with your call and your pledge of support at 217-244-9455.
You know, we've been around 90 years doing agriculture on this radio station.
That's amazing.
90 years. I would call that a commitment.
Well, I would too.
and it is a commitment that is based on a partnership, an idea that we will provide the information that we hear that our listeners want. We're not in the we're going to tell you business. We're in the we're going to listen to you and give you what you need business.
Well, you know, and I also think it's the idea that we understand our market. We understand our audience. We understand the services that you want and that you use. And again, do our best to provide those services for you. But this is public radio. That means it takes involvement on both sides of the radio to make these services possible. And we're happy to invest what it takes to give you the service that you need. But we need for you to step up and make that call and make that pledge at 217-244-9455. And as we come to the end of the calendar year, maybe this is your time to when you evaluate those services that you use and make those contributions. 217-244-9455.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Friday and Saturday's storm system, slated for the Midwest, has been shifted a little bit more to the northwest in today's forecast model data. That suggests that more of an impact will occur on the upper Mississippi River Basin than in the heart of the Midwest itself. The storm system is also different in the sense that greater amounts of precipitation may occur across some of the hard red winter wheat country as we move forward through the day tomorrow. Storm system will move rather quickly, and for that reason we won't see a general soaking to take place across wheat areas, but nevertheless the central plains will see enough precipitation to finally end these multiple weeks of absolute dryness that have occurred across parts of the region. Some areas have gone well over 30 days and some more than 60 days without a meaningful precipitation event. Well, this isn't going to necessarily be a real stellar storm system, but we will see our first measurable precipitation in some areas for quite a while, and we're looking for totals running anywhere from a tenth to five-tenths of an inch. Perhaps a few pockets out there will get just a few hundredths of an inch, while a few others, maybe in Nebraska, might get more than a half inch. Precipitation will all be welcome, and it would certainly help to stimulate maybe some better crop development potential when the warmer days return to the region, but doesn't look like we're going to see a tremendous change in the overall bottom line from the single storm system. Now, this same storm will likely march through the upper portions of the Midwest, impacting Minnesota, parts of South Dakota, obviously Nebraska, as well as Iowa, and parts of Missouri and Illinois and Wisconsin. Now, these areas will all see some kind of precipitation from this event, although some areas will see a lot more moisture than others. Nobody's going to see a substantial amount in the sense of causing any real substantial runoff potential, but there will be at least a little bit. We'll look for the moisture totals maybe running a quarter to three-quarters of an inch across this portion of the region. The best news is for portions of South Dakota and southern Minnesota that some of the snow that accumulated heavily over this past weekend will likely begin to melt at a more aggressive rate, and that will likely add to the runoff. So maybe we'll see a little rise on the middle of Mississippi River Basin or middle Mississippi River at some point over this next week or so, but don't look for this to be a major change. We're not going to see the barge restrictions lifted in a major way. We're probably not going to see the bottom line change much either, but at least it's interesting to note that we can get a storm system of size to maybe help the situation a little bit. Future storms moving across the plains and Midwest will likely shift back to the southeast in the future week, so we will not see follow-up precipitation of significance in hard red winter wheat country, and most likely the upper parts of the Midwest will also see a more restricted amount of precipitation in future weather events. The next system that has a bigger impact on the region will be a big surge of cold air that is expected to push into the eastern portions of the U.S. as we get into the second half of next week and the following weekend. Temperatures may be quite cold in some locations, and the big transition from the warm to the cold weather will likely induce at least a little bit of precipitation across a part of the region. Moisture totals will probably be low, but still welcome. And it looks like our temperatures out there will continue to trend a little bit warmer than normal for a while until that big cold air mass shows up as we move on into next week. The temperatures this afternoon will be mostly in the 40s and 50s across the Midwest. We'll look for highs tomorrow very similar in the 40s and 50s, but on Saturday we may actually see some 60-degree readings occurring in southernmost parts of the region. And there are low temperatures at night over these next few nights are expected to drop back into the 20s and 30s for the most part. There will be some 40-degree readings developing in southern areas on Saturday and into the eastern Midwest on Sunday. In contrast, temperatures will be falling back to the single digits across the far northwestern fringes of the Corn Belt. That will occur as we move towards Sunday and Monday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you much, Drew. Let's look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. March wheat, 869, up 3 3/4. In Chicago, December wheat, 795.5, up 3/4. December corn, 721, unchanged. July, 724.75, up 3/4. January soybeans, 1486.25, up 12 3/4. July, 1447.75, up 7. November 13, 1319, up 0.5. December soybean meal, 465.10, up 5.60. January soybean oil, 49.74, up 20 cents. December live cattle, 127, up 65. January feeders, 152.82, up 7.5. And December lean hogs, 82.20, up 12.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Soybeans very much the leader to the upside this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see that green on the screen, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And March beans, I noticed, edged over that 1480, which is the first resistance level. I think we're looking at a meal-led market, which is encouraging as far as that whole bean complex.
Also climbed up over the 50-day moving average today as well. I guess those exports were a little bit more than the traders thought they were going to be.
They were a little bit more, but we had no new crop export bookings, and that's kind of a little bit of a downer, I thought.
In the corn market, I know total exports, old and new, were 10.7 million bushels, and that's not a great number, but it's sure a lot better than we've been talking about for weeks.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I thought the fact that we held support on the March corn overnight above 718 was a pretty positive sign. It'll be interesting to see whether we can take out 729. That's resistance. We've seen commercials, however, sell this corn market overnight, and I want to see if that evaporates. The December corn does expire Friday, the December all the grains expire on Friday, too, and we've got a discount now. We've got carry in the corn market east to March.
And that is interesting to note. Also, overnight in the wheat market, we didn't get a few sales. Japan picking up some wheat from the U.S. as well as South Korea.
Yeah, and that's kind of the flip of what's been happening. The wheat market has been... The wheat export trade has been going elsewhere, so it's kind of nice to see that. Japan is a pretty typical buyer of grains from the U.S., but they've been buying corn elsewhere, too.
And that must mean that the price decline that we saw in the futures market this week has made U.S. Wheat more attractive to foreign interests. Now the question is, where on the big board, on the charts, does wheat finally catch, because there's not a lot of resistance for a long time?
There certainly isn't a whole lot of support before we go lower, and but the market has been so tremendously oversold. I think also the fact that the U.S. dollar has been weaker over the last several trading days is playing into those buys.
Yeah, we did see the dollar take a pretty significant drop yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour after the Fed policy was announced regarding the going forward, removing Operation Twist and then replacing it with a new program that is just on the buying side and no selling of treasuries. So there was that. What about livestock side?
Probably a little firmer today. There's certainly good packer interest in the cattle. I like the feeder-led rally. I think that means that a live cattle rally is for real. We had good exports of beef in the month of October. On the hog side, I think we've probably moved beyond the peak weights here, and we'll see the market catch and try to work higher.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Les Schulte alongside Les. Here's another couple of numbers of interest, 36 and 36.
Oh, yeah. That means we want to raise $36,000 in 36 hours of fundraising here over the next few days. And so it's a short period of time. It's a pretty extensive goal. But we can do that. We say, you got to stretch these goals a little bit, and that'll get us ever so much closer to meeting that $1 million mark by the end of the calendar year. That'll keep us right on track to supporting great programs here on WILL. The programs from NPR, the programs that we produce, like our agricultural service, keeps us on track. And that's why your involvement right now is so very important. 217-244-9455. Here's another 36. We can add $36 to your contribution right now from Member Match Fund.
Oh, wow.
So you make a $120 contribution, we'll add another $36 from our Member Match Fund. That's like making a $156 contribution.
Got to jump on
to
board
WILL.
That.
So you don't want to let these opportunities pass you by. Call right now.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. The number to call, 217-244-9455.